Good morning and welcome back to Four States Live. I'm Kevin Seidenstricker. We are your voice of the Four States community. You can catch any of our broadcasts on our webpage, our website, KKOWAM.com. You can go to the Four States Live tab and catch any of our previous recordings there. And you can also go to our Facebook page and catch a lot of stuff there. And I'm very happy to have this morning with us Jared Hyder. Good morning, Jared.
Good morning.
So Jared is with us from the MFA, and Jared, as I understand it, you're a District 8, if I get this right, representative of MFA?
Yeah. At NMFA, we're divided up in about 10 districts internally for the way we geographically cover the area. And I cover mostly southwest Missouri and have a location in northern Arkansas at Berryville. And there's 11 locations is what I'm responsible with, cover the retail and service end of our operation.
Okay. So mostly based in Missouri.
Yes.
Is the MFA with, you said earlier, affiliates in Arkansas and Kansas.
Yes, that's correct. The Ag Choice locations in Kansas work under our umbrella.
Okay. And again, I'm really happy to have you here today because we're basically kicking off our Agribusiness Thursdays. So you're the first one to really come on formally for Agribusiness. And I don't want to call you our guinea pig or our lab rat, but we, I definitely thank you for being here today. And, you know, we have so many people in agriculture in the Four States area, in our listening area, but there are so many people who are not. And it's important to me to make sure that our listeners are informed and educated on the things that impact them every day. And I want people to develop a better appreciation for what it is that our farmers and ranchers do to make sure that we are all well-fed and protected and have our basic needs met. And in my mind, that's what a lot of our agriculture professionals do.
Sure. Yeah.
And then the MFA is a advocate and also supplier, an advocate for our farmers and ranchers, but also a supplier of their necessary needs to get their jobs done.
Yes. Yes, they are.
What are some of the basic products that the MFA makes sure that our ranchers and farmers have to do their jobs?
Yeah, so we supply, you know, 100% of anything used on a farm in one way or the other. You know, we plant, we do seeds, we do crop protection, which are chemicals, you know, as far as weed control or pre-planting chemicals or post-planting. We also provide the fertilizer, you know, grow any kind of crop out there. On the livestock side, we, you know, supply animal health supplies to raise livestock, to feed sources, mineral sources, vitamins, nutrients, anything along that line as well, all the way into the farm supply. We're also into that, and you know, water tanks, fencing systems, fencing, anything you'd purchase to raise cattle or crops on a farm, we're a supplier of in some way or another.
Very comprehensive scope of everything about farming.
Yes. Yes.
I remember, now I know the MFA has been around for a long time. It's not something that just developed in the last couple of decades. I remember as a little kid being at a county fair or state fair in Sedalia, Missouri, and everybody had those handheld MFA logo fans, the paper fans that they were using.
Yeah, those are still a pretty popular thing to find around. A lot of the old offices will have them for decor. You might find them in a flea market. You know, there was a lot of advertising used like that, and the fans were on, you know, obviously popular. 1914 is when the company began with a group of farmers up in Brunswick, grouping together, trying to pool an order of baler twine, you know, so they could get a big enough shipment to bring in and then disperse throughout the county. So, yeah, we've been, you know, over 100 years established in Missouri. I think currently we're about 120 locations, roughly, still in Missouri. And operating.
So. And I don't think a lot of people understand, again, addressing a lot of people in our listening area who are not farmers, understand the technical aspect of farming and how very scientific it is.
Sure. You know, I've been with the company just a little over 20 years, did more than that if I started, you know, counting part-time, started in high school a little bit. But what I've seen changed in my tenure is pretty drastic, with precision ag probably leading the way as far as the biggest change how we apply fertilizer or chemicals, trying to do more efficient work with that for the farmer, make them more profitable and make their every acre count. So how we used to apply products, you know, we would just blanketly put down the same amount over a whole 100-acre field or 80 or whatever the size of the field is. And and now, you know, we do what they call grid sampling. And so they will pull, you know, 8 cores for every 2 acres, and they'll GPS track that.
Right.
With a barcode and a laptop. And and so we've got the technology and people in that area that can finish that out, and they will make recommendations for whatever the crop is they're growing, whether it's this, you know, hay field, fescue grass, or corn or soybeans.
Sure.
And we can go out there and apply with our vehicles. Now we've spent quite a bit of money to upgrade those and, you know, computers and application equipment, so where they can apply as needed. You know, if it doesn't need anything across these 2 acres, it shuts off. And then when it gets to where it needs it, and so trying to be better stewards of the land, you know, growing the best crop we can for the customer and evening out their fields, and, you know, try to keep them in business and keep us in business as well, the farmers and our ranchers that we deal with.
So Jared, what I'm hearing you say is that you might not, or a farmer might not be spreading, might not be using either a crop duster, and, you know, airborne, we see these planes flying around, or the motorized ground vehicles spreading pesticides or whatever over every inch of their crop.
Correct.
Like you said, sometimes it shuts off, and so consumers aren't being dosed unnecessarily.
We don't want to put any more out than we have to. The customer doesn't want to buy any more, and we also want to leave the land better than, you know, farmers in general, they're proud of their land, and they don't want to abuse it, and they want to leave it better than it was, you know.
So the less chemicals you can put out there, the better for you, because it's not as expensive, better for the land,
and
better for the consumer.
Yeah, and if there's natural ways to apply a pesticide, we've applied sugar, you know, and stuff like that, just natural sugar instead of a chemical, you know, for an insecticide outbreak.
Really?
You know, there's different things that can be used, and whatever fits the need, you know. But yeah, the precision, it's a big help for being a better steward of the land and being more efficient. Obviously, fertilizer like this year, it really counts when it doubled in price. People that have been on the program doing this type of thing, they have their land more in fit, and so they're not as efficient. And so, you know, they can make, you know, more out of whatever crop they're growing, I guess.
Gotcha. And Jared, you actually live in Neosho, is that right?
Yeah.
You farm in Neosho?
Yeah, I run some beef cows.
Cool.
I run with my mom now. We run, I think maybe 130 head of beef cows and background some calves. So
okay, well, I definitely want to talk more about the technology and precision agriculture, and just what's apparent to the average listener out there who's not so familiar with some of this stuff and the impact that it has on them, you know, the food that's on their table and the price they pay at the grocery store. There's a lot more to delve into here. I definitely want to talk about fertilizer challenges with farmers, but we're going to take a quick break and we'll be right back. Again, I've got Jared Hyder here with the MFA. I'm Kevin Seidenstricker on Four States Live.
You're listening to Four States Live with Shannon Bruffett and Kevin Seidenstricker, AM 860 and 97.5 KKOW.
Good morning and welcome back to Four States Live. I'm Kevin Seidenstricker here with Jared Hyder, who is our district area representative for the MFA. Just recapping, the MFA is mostly in Missouri, but Jared, correct me if I'm wrong, you do have affiliates in Kansas and Oklahoma.
Or Arkansas,
yeah. Not Oklahoma.
Yes, sir.
Okay.
Yes, sir. We do a share amount of business in Oklahoma and the surrounding counties, you know. The Neosho location hauls quite a bit of feed and fertilizer, you know, into the neighboring counties there on the state line in the Quapaw, Wyandotte area and Grove, for the most part.
Gotcha. And I'm glad you mentioned fertilizer, because I have heard in the agribusiness news for over a year now that there is a worldwide shortage of fertilizers, whether it's natural or synthetic.
Yes. You know, they, one of the things that was explained to us as far as the production, obviously whenever a lot of employees weren't at their facilities working when the COVID pandemic hit, they had to shut down some. And so they typically would take down a plant for a few months to renovate and refurbish and clean. And well, several of those manufacturing plants went down at the same time. And so that caused later on, you know, a shortage. And then also there's, you know, other factors, shipping and transportation and just workers wherever to unload and transport, you know, whether it's coming from, you know, Russia or Asia or Europe or Florida or, you know, Galveston, right, or just wherever, employed shortage everywhere. And so therefore the price, you know, we went from, you know, $450 a ton product to, you know, $950 a ton or so, you know, or $1,000 a ton for products in 1 year span.
Yeah. I was reading an article earlier that said that prices of fertilizer, especially the synthetic fertilizer, had doubled, in some cases tripled across the nation. So it's definitely hitting you guys really hard.
Yeah. Yeah. Obviously, whenever you double your input price to grow a crop or to grow grass to, you know, raise beef cattle or goats or whatever you're, you know, using it for, that gets into your budget on a farm, obviously. This, you know,
sure,
the same as a, you know, fuel doubling or anything else, all those things add up. And if your end product doesn't get the double in price or triple, which it hasn't, then somewhere in between there, you've got to figure out how to be a better farm manager if you're going to stay in business.
Sure. And I guess that's where precision agriculture comes in. So your scarce resources or your very expensive resources are only put where you need them.
Yeah. Yeah. The precision program, you know, in that respect, really come out and shine for some folks that had been already on the program for several years. If they'd been trying to build their land up or had it maybe built up, and so they weren't deficient in anything, you know, they could look at this and maybe say, well, it was a hiccup and we don't have to buy near as much as, maybe somebody that hadn't been, and they brought us in a soil test to analyze and they had been a little more deficient in a certain area. And so this is not the year to play catch up and build your land when you're having to pay that much more.
Certainly not. And you actually, I love doing this show. I love having subject matter experts on. And I know, Jared, you don't really consider yourself much of an expert. You do what you do. But you know this stuff. And you mentioned a couple of key elements in this equation, which has to do the war in Ukraine with Russia.
Sure.
And supply chain shortages. A lot of people don't realize that we do import a lot of ingredients of synthetic fertilizer from Russia in that area. So that has affected us. Also, the supply chain bottlenecks and shortages that we've realized in our ports and across the globe have also affected those prices. And the price of natural gas has affected everything to do with farming, right?
Yes, yes. Any one and all those factors, and of course, you know more. You know, any hinge in the chain there, it's going to slow things up. You know, we at one point within a year, you know, you've probably seen as well the ports backed up trying to get containers, you know, unloaded. It's the same with the barge system that brings in most of our commodities, whether it's fertilizer, you know, or corn or wheat or whatever we're bringing in. If we're trying to shuffle it in the river system, you know, out of Missouri or back into Missouri,
yep,
there can be a line there held up. And sure,
yeah, across our across the Midwest, I mean, whether it's the Missouri River, the Mississippi River, the Ohio River, and other,
yep,
major rivers and waterways that barge in a lot of these things that our farmers and ranchers need that don't just come in by truck, right?
Yes, yes. You know, we, with the segment I work with, you know, we have, you know, an elevator in Lamar that I work with, and we load trucks and we load rail cars. But, you know, sometimes those go to a port, you know, where we're going to load it and export it out of the country or, mm-hmm, ship it somewhere else in the country, and then, you know, turn around and reload, and they'll be bringing us, you know, if we're hauling grain down there, we might be hauling fertilizer back, you know, at certain times of year. So it's just it's a cycle, and we try to be as most efficient as we can to get the products to the farmers and ranchers that need it out here, you know, in whatever aspect it is.
One thing I've become aware of since I've moved back here to about 8 years ago is that a lot of our agriculture business professionals out there, farmers and ranchers, either lease or own and operate big trucks, 18 wheelers.
Yes.
So, you know, it's so very easy for some city boy like me to be out there on the highway and get frustrated with a slow truck out there. And I just want you people who are kind of like me once in a while and get that frustration. Remember, these are people who are putting food on your plate, okay, and stocking your grocery stores. Give them a break. They're just trying to do their jobs. Especially when, you know, the tractors and such are out on the roads. I mean, they have to get to the fields, and there's just often not a better way to do it.
Yeah. Yeah. Being a person that's drove some of those trucks in the industry, moving stuff around, I'm just like anyone else. I want to get there as quickly as possible, but they definitely, you know, 80,000 pounds rolling, you want to give them space. And the reason that they back off, you know, 10 or 12 car lengths from the car in front of them, they're just trying to be safe. It's not for you to race around and then hit your brakes right in front of them and
exactly
expect them to stop that big rolling load real quick. So
yeah, the laws of physics apply here, folks. And when you've got that 80,000 pound truck with all of its inertia, isn't going to stop on a dime.
Yeah,
give them a break, guys, come on. One of the things I love about agriculture that I've recently learned is the high tech that's involved. You were talking in our last segment about precision agriculture and how our motorized ground vehicles are mostly driven by GPS and making sure that, according to that GPS, the spreader systems are turning on, turning off, regulating how much they're spreading, right?
Yes. Yeah. So we've got far more advanced than we were 20 years ago as right. far as how we can apply. Used to, the method was just blanketly apply. For example, the most recent piece of land I bought, you know, it was the standard in the area for a long time was, well, everything needs lime. The standard is, let's put 2 ton of lime down. And 2 ton of lime is roughly $50 an acre, you know, at the time. Now it's more expensive with trucking and everything else this year, but this is at the time it was then. And I had MFA come out and precision soil sample it, and I had the agronomist look it over, and it figured, you know, so if I'd bought the 2 ton of lime on that 80 acres, say, it was 160 ton of lime.
Wow.
We ended up only applying 100 ton of lime.
Okay.
Because some of it only needed half a ton. Some of it needed like a ton and a half. But, you know, by using the precision program MFA has, we were able to pinpoint where it needed lime more than others. And the variables that go into that is, you look at a field and you may drive by a field and it looks like it's all the same.
Mm-hmm.
What we don't know is what's in the subsoil. So, you know, if there was an old dairy barn on one end of it, or there was a pond in the middle, or some shade trees, and they ran livestock, obviously they're going to gather around the water source. They're going to defecate right outside the dairy barn, you know, or right on the shade trees. So those areas, you know, may have more nutrients deposited back.
Bingo.
Okay. And so that causes a variable across that land. And the other thing is there's a subsoil change, you know, as far as you can go across there, and they find this when they do the sampling and probing, and, you know, you dig down 6 inches and you might hit rocks the first inch in one place, and you might actually have just all, you know, black dirt, which would ideally what you'd want everywhere.
Sure.
But that's not always the case. You know, it changes with terrain, you know, and it's not always just the hills and valleys show that. It can do that across a flat piece of ground too. And so
sure,
something you don't know until you, you know, get in there. And that's one of the things that the precision program for MFA helps bring to the surface for farmers, as far as making them more efficient and trying to pinpoint, you know, if there's a good piece of soil out there on their farm, they may apply to that's growth ability, but mm-hmm. the soil that's thinner or wherever that be, if it's only going to capacity of growing so much, then they're not going to put as much down at that area, you know. So it lets them pinpoint where they can be most efficient.
And we hadn't talked about this before. I don't want to put you on the spot, but you've got me thinking now about the MFA and the great assistance the MFA provides to farmers and ranchers, everyone in the agriculture business. And so I'm thinking the MFA representatives and staff, they are experts in agriculture. How does the MFA get the word out to agriculture professionals, farmers and ranchers, on new technologies, best practices across the industry, medical care, you know, breakthroughs in medical care for livestock and such, annual seminars, or you mostly participate in state and county fairs to get the word out?
So a little bit of everything. Obviously, you know, our biggest contact is this one-on-one with farmer rancher customer base. Whether we've already got an established business and we can introduce something to them, you know, if they come across our threshold in our locations, or they call in looking for a certain product, you know, or obviously we have, you know, websites and stuff like that. We do try to hold periodically some, you know, trainings and talk about, you know, we have or application or just updates in the area. And, you know, sometimes you can get people together, but everybody's lives and time, it is obviously
it's a challenge.
we find a way to, you know, fill up every minute of every day. And so,
sure.
You know, years ago, it was easier to get a large group of together, you know, people together. You know, if you said you had food, everybody was there, you know.
Oh, yes.
Fortunately, we all have the resources in this country. We're blessed enough that, you know, that's not as big a draw now as a meal. So right. A lot more one-on-one and word of mouth, you know, is what, and we, you know, we usually have a good contact with, you know, with customers from, you know, they may not buy everything from us, but they've, you know about us in one way or the other. And we can, you know, say, hey, you've never used this product. Do you even know we have this, you know?
Nice.
And so we can approach it that way sometimes too.
And then if we can wrap up with Jared, the technology involved with drones, I learned about a year or 2 years ago that drones have become very much the norm with a lot of farmers. And there's different sensors that can be put on drones to detect things like salt content, mm-hmm. and saturation of the soil, and there are hundreds of acres. Is that right?
Yes. I'm haven't been privileged to be around those as much, but I have seen some data from them, and we have some people in the company using them. You know, most recently we were side dressing corn, and so when corn gets, you know, anywhere 2 to 3 to 4 foot, we'll have high wheel machines that can drive over the top, but not damage the corn, and apply right. more nitrogen if it looks like it needs it. And some of that information we do get back from the drone footage, you know, that can take color images and heat images and determine, yep. you know, if it was too much water, you know, if we were blessed with enough rain, you know, right yes. now we're looking for the other end of it.
Yes.
We're, you know, we can use that information, apply it. And then, also on the drones, we've had a customer base or two that have got into some, you know, they're being more prevalent, and they've used them to apply, you know, their own chemicals and do some nice. Herbicide application. And so that's a new thing coming into the area very quickly. And obviously sometimes finding staffing to run application equipment can be a challenge. And so
you know, it's always back to school for the farmers, right?
Right.
You always need to go learn something new.
You know, and so if they can't find you know, somebody willing to come out and work on the farm, you know, since a lot of these guys need full-time farm help.
Yeah.
They're going to learn how to run a drone, and they'll get it done while they're doing something else too, you know.
And to make sure those things are operating efficiently and effectively, ergo then the need for a greater broadband capacity in our rural areas to be able to support that technology, right?
Yeah. I mean, you know, a lot of the information systems obviously run off of the internet systems. And so if you don't have the speed, what you need out in the rural areas to be able to get the information or keep it updated or whatever.
You're kind of handicapped.
That's a challenge.
Not able to keep up with everybody else.
Right.
Well, Jared, I really, again, appreciate you being here today and sharing your expertise with us. You again, you don't think you are, but I consider you an expert in this area. So on Agribusiness Thursdays, I really appreciate you being here, and I hope to have you back and, hear more about your operations and how you're just doing yourself. I hope we can do that.
All right. I appreciate you having me on.
Okay. Jared Hyder with the MFA here on Agribusiness Thursday. I'm Kevin Seidenstricker on Four States Live. Don't go away. We'll be right back.